Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to show number 172. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
And we also have Bourbon Bob Sycon from All In WDW. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. So you guys ready for some fun today?
I am. I'm looking forward to this. Been looking forward to it for weeks.
Okay, so what we're doing, guys, is we're doing the All In WDW and the WDW of Main Street first ever Walt Disney World Fantasy Parks draft and resort. Does it? That sounds like a good time, don't it, guys?
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Yeah,
it does. I don't believe this has ever been done before, and it's pretty intriguing to me to how we're going to strategize and build our fictitious parks using the, you know, the Disney parks down there as our drafting pool, if you will.
It's going to be a lot of fun. What we're going to do is we're going to draft 23 rides or attractions, 22 restaurants, which could be a combination of counter service and sit-down and snack offerings, 10 stores, 4 hotels, which will be 2 deluxes, 1 moderate, and 1 value, and then 1 fireworks show. So you guys all know the rules. We went over all this off the air. Are you ready to get started?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
So by sheer luck, the host of the show, he gets the draft first. How did that happen, Dan, for me?
We actually punched in our 3 names in randomizer.org, and that's the order that came up.
Don't tell Bob we only put 2 in, right?
No, it was all legit, and I tried sending it to you guys, but I guess it was blurry, but I took a little video of it, so it was a fair system by which we determined the drafting order.
Well, I totally believed it because I went first.
Oh, see, now, and honestly, I thought Doug's was the one who had done it, and that was a little bit shady sounding, but if Dennis actually did the randomizing, him I can trust.
Thanks, buddy. I really, really appreciate that. So when some of your picks get edited out of this show, don't blame me.
But I'll be recording them on allinwdw.com, and we're actually going to take it a step further, right? After each round, or after each show, that is, and we're going to do 10 rounds today, I'm going to post a poll on my site listing the parks in progress and ask my readers and Main Street's listeners to hop over to the site and vote which park, which of the 3 of us has the best park in progress. And then we'll culminate at the end with a bit of, you know, an all-in poll that has the completed parks and see which one of us does the best job in the eyes of my readers and your listeners.
Yeah, so what it's going to be is there's 60 picks total. It's going to be 10 picks per round, and we're going to do it in 6 individual shows. So this is going to last throughout the summer. So we hope you guys like to play along, and you can yell at us if we make picks that you don't agree with.
So that would be outstanding. The more comments that we get, the better.
Yeah, so the draft order is Wah first, Dennis second, and Bob gets third.
What a way to treat a guest.
Uh-huh. That's how you're welcomed here at the bar. You gotta get I'm at the main stool here, me and Denner. We're at stool 1A and 1B, you're seat 3.
I think whoever has the first pick in the draft has to buy the drinks today, Dennis.
I'm buying.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay, better give them my visa. It's going to be a long day. So you guys ready to go?
Let's go.
Yeah, so Doug, with the first pick ever, first pick overall
in the Walt Disney World draft, it's going to be, believe it or not, the Walt Disney World Railroad. And I know people out there think, why that? But the reason for it is, I like that to be, it's the first memory I've ever had when I went down to the parks. So I want Walt's Railroad to actually go around my new park. I love the concept of that. And I might even have the railroad stop off at my resorts when I draft them.
So, that's an outstanding idea.
What's your thoughts, Dan?
No, it's a great pick. It's an iconic pick. It's something that will be unique to your park, obviously. And we enjoy the Walt Disney World Railroad. And I was mentioning on the last show, I just love to hear the whistle blow in the background, kind of the ambient sound of the Magic Kingdom. So that's a great pick.
Yeah, I just like the look of it. I like the whole landscape in the front of it. I might change it up a little bit. For the most part, but it's going to have my picture in the flowers.
Oh,
instead of Mickey Mouse, it's going to have me.
You ruined everything now.
No.
Well, I was going to say he's going to scare people away from the park that way.
It'll truly be Doug Live.
They'll be going over to Universal in droves.
No, they won't. They're going to see my picture, buddy. I'm going to have my Presley right next to me. It's going to be me and Presley in the flowers out there.
All right, so tentative name of Mr. Davis's park, Doug's World.
Exactly. You go ahead, Dan. You're up, my friend.
All right. Based on our discussion this morning, I did a bait and switch here with myself, but I am going to draft the Polynesian Village Resort.
Okay. So you like the new rehab on it, too?
I loved it before the refurb, and I enjoy it, or, you know, what's done of it. I've seen pretty much 90% of it done, but, yeah, that's probably my money aside and all that stuff. I mean, I am a DVC member, and I love Riverside, and there's other resorts I like, but if I could stay anywhere on property whenever I wanted, like I said, money aside, the Poly would be it. I think it has a lot to offer, not only in the resort itself, but it's got some real nice restaurants, a lounge, Trader Sam's now. You've got the Luau. Kona Cafe is an excellent restaurant in there. So the whole package, the whole resort is a package. And the fact you can go out on the beach and they pipe in the music to Wishes over at the Magic Kingdom. All those things make it a very, very strong resort, I believe, and that's why I'm drafting it number one.
And just so all the followers know, I'm sorry, Bob, just so all the followers know, the restaurants that are in the resort stay with the resort, so you're getting the entire resort. So Dennis has Ohana, he has the new Trader Sam's, and he has the Luau. The whole nine yards comes with the resort. So the restaurants and all that we are going to draft are either in the parks or at Downtown Disney.
I can get a lapu-lapu whenever I want.
Well, the good part is all the contractors that are working in your new park to put it together will have the Polynesian to stay at while they're building the park.
Nah, I'm going to make them stay off property.
Oh, that's just rude.
Nice. Actually, great pick, Dennis. I'm not afraid to admit that would have been my choice if it had fallen to me. My wife and I just recently visited the Polynesian Village and on Memorial Day, and I have to tell you, the construction that was kind of up and in your face for so long, it's so much more subtle and less noticeable now. I was telling Doug off the air a day or two ago that I've always been a bit of a critic of how popular the Polynesian is amongst my readers, only because there are so many other good venues in Walt Disney World to stay at or to eat at. And Disney did a fantastic job with this refurb. I might not entirely agree with what they did to the lobby, and I know that's kind of a controversial topic, but we visited Trader Sam's. It was a phenomenal experience. I'm going to be writing about that upcoming soon. We had lunch at Kona Cafe, and it was fabulous as always. The way that they've remodeled the pool area and the area around Captain Cook's outside is just gorgeous. They've done a great job with it. It was a good pick, Dennis.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. Very happy with it.
It was okay. Good job, Dave. Go ahead, Bobby.
Okay, so previous discussion with Doug suggested I can make the pick that I want to make as follows, and that's the Yacht and Beach Club over at Crescent Lake, along with Yachtsman, Captain's Grill, Beaches and Cream, Storm Along Bay, Cape May Cafe. I just think that if you're going to go deluxe resorts on property, you're either going Polynesian or you're going Yacht and Beach Club. And in my most recent favorite deluxe resort poll, for the first time ever, Polynesian did not win, and it was beat out by Beach Club, probably because of the construction that we've been talking about. But my first selection is going to be Yacht and Beach Club.
So you're going to get to play in the sand and the Beach Club pool as much as you want, correct?
Yeah, if I want.
Okay, so nobody will be yelling at you for taking your drink from the cabana bar into the pool because it's your hotel now.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Hurricane Hannah is one of the best pool bars on property in my mind. You know, it's just a fantastic place to sit, watch people swimming, watch people walking down.
I love the location that you can look out over the lake there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome pick, and that resort is very, or those resorts, I should say, are very strong in that they do have some great dining options, and the Storm Along Bay, like you said, one of the few sand-bottom pools, or at least it used to be, in the country. I think there's a few more. There may be one out in Vegas or something like that, but that pool does, I mean, people, you know, they can't afford to stay there or stay other places. They would love to be able to use that pool. And as we all know, they keep a strict watch on that. You got to have a wristband or some such thing, I think. So you cannot pool hop to this pool. So we won't be coming. Well, I guess if we're your guests, maybe we can go in, right, Doug?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to just bust in and jump in the pool. Yeah. We don't care. Cannonballs on both of us.
Right.
The poly pool, by the way, when we were there a week or so ago, is being very strongly policed now as well.
I would think, because there's going to be a lot of visitors from other resorts that just want to check it out and might bring their trunks with them and try to, you know, use the amenities, if you will.
Especially after a couple too many lapu-lapus.
Right. Yeah, by the way, just real quick, I don't know if you guys heard, but there was some story that some guy got drunk at Fort Wilderness. Did you hear this? And he crashed through the windshield of a golf cart.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, a Disney employee that was following this guy. I guess he tried to ride a bicycle away from the, I don't know, somewhere around the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review or something, as the story went. But anyways, for some reason, when the golf cart caught up to him, he decided to jump through the plexiglass windshield. He didn't get hurt or anything, but then he proceeded to run into Bay Lake and tried to swim away to get away from the quote-unquote Disney police, and he was ultimately arrested and taken off property. But kind of a funny story. The guy didn't get hurt, but he must have been really
out of his mind.
Yeah, exactly. So
thank God.
Sorry about that.
Thank goodness none of the alligators got him.
Or the snakes.
Yeah, jeez. Well, on to the second round, the second pick, not the second round. What Doug is going to do is, it's going to be no surprise to you guys, being that you guys started off in the resorts, I'm going to take Riverside. Port Orleans, Riverside.
Now, does that come with French Quarter, or is that just Riverside itself?
It's the whole, I say we have it the whole thing. Because, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I would include French Quarter with it.
Because it's considered Port Orleans Resorts now. It's like the Yacht and Beach Club, in my opinion.
I mean, in my view, this is just my opinion, the French Quarter offers little to nothing to add to the Riverside.
Well, Bob loves the bar, though. Don't you, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Mardi Gras is really fun. It's a nice atmosphere, you know, with all the, you know, sort of New Orleans decorations. I mean, I agree. I think, you know, lumping the two of them together is fine. We like both food courts. You know, you got the sit-down restaurant over at Riverside. So, you know, I mean, I think it's a good blend together.
Yeah, I love boat rides. It's a good breakfast. Have you ever had breakfast there?
I have, yes.
Yeah, it's a good time. I, you know, everybody who listens to the show knows how much I love Riverside. The reason I took Riverside here is because you two both took resorts right away, and Riverside, in my opinion, is the most popular moderate resort out there of all the Disney resorts. So I figure that gives me a little bit of advantage, because when any of the sales go up, or any of the discounts, or any of the dining plan stuff, Riverside barely has any rooms available or is excluded from the promotion. So,
yeah, no, it's very popular, and I really love that resort, as you both know if you've listened to our podcast at all. Just one correction. I remembered this, having just stayed there recently. They Boat Rides does not offer breakfast anymore. Each day that we were there, it was dark. I don't think it opens till lunch or whatever, but they definitely don't offer breakfast anymore.
Oh, that's weird, because it was open when we were there last, so
maybe
we'll have
to
look into that. Yeah, we'll have to look into that. But anyway, I just think what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Riverside its proper respect, and the property is going to be right next to my park, so my train can go, so it'll be an old Southern train going by Riverside. It's going to be beautiful.
Okay.
So go ahead, Dan. What's your second pick?
Okay. For my second pick, I am going to draft Illuminations.
I knew that was going to go quick.
That's that is my most favorite nighttime spectacular, if you will. And it just brings back a lot of memories when we first went there, and, you know, when the 2000 celebration happened and all that, when they had the parade. And that's just something I remember with my kids being there. And we tend to see Illuminations at least twice on every trip. And in fact, we got to enjoy Illuminations with Bob and Mary when we were down there on our last trip, or the trip before.
So you're going to pipe the Illuminations music into the Polynesian now?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm still kind of a work in progress here, but that's a strong show, and I think regardless of how I play it, it will enhance my park tremendously, so it's much better than either of your two parks.
Well, me and Bob both love Illuminations. I will be over to your park at least to hear that play.
All right.
I might not like the rest of the stuff, but I will like the Illuminations.
You're always welcome in my park.
Are you going to call it Dennis Nations now, or it's going to still be called Illuminations?
Still working on a name.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
All right. So Dennis mentioned this a couple minutes ago, and I agree with him. I think that every park needs to have an icon. So I'm going to pick the icon in Walt Disney World that catches my eye every time I drive across property, and that's Spaceship Earth, because that can be seen from near or far. And in my mind, for my park, it's going to be the first thing people see when they drive up to park their cars.
And we both love that attraction, and everybody knows what the golf ball is.
Yeah, that's an awesome pick. I would have gobbled that up if it was still around. I agree with you. How can you go against a castle, I guess, in the Magic Kingdom? But second to that, I got to believe that's the most recognized park icon from down in Walt Disney World. And I really love the attraction that's inside it, too. So it's a two-for-one deal as far as I'm concerned. You get the benefit of the attraction that's within it, but you also get the iconic sphere, if you will, that everybody knows is Epcot.
Well, I agree. I love Spaceship Earth. I mean, it's a must-do every trip for me. I mean, I'll be over to get on that too, Dan. I mean, Bob, because I have to see my little paper boy. Get him out of the corner, please.
I make that comment to my wife every time we ride it. You know, for us,
it's like, what did he do? Did he not deliver the papers one day, and now he's punished? He was put back in the corner?
I would love to hear the story about that. I mean, you know, for us, like you, Doug, it's something that we have to do every time we visit. And, you know, how the old saying goes, you don't know you're at Bob's World until you smell Rome burning.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. That's awesome, Bob. That's a great pick. And I'm going to stick to the same line of reasoning, and I'm going to draft It's Tough to Be a Bug. Because I think the Tree of Life will go perfect with the railroad and Riverside. So, I mean, I'm going with this whole Southern woodsy motif. So I want the Tough to Be a Bug.
great pick.
And you know me, guys. I love the Animal Kingdom, the Tree of Life. You know, it's right in my. I love that. It broke my heart my last trip when it was fenced in. If my wife wouldn't have been with me, I'd have probably broke in to go see it. So you're up next, see, Denny.
Okay. Where do I want to go here?
Decisions, decisions, payday.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. So I have a nice resort. I have a beautiful nighttime spectacular. What do I want to add to my park? I got to eat. But I think I'll be able to pick up some good dining options later on in the draft. I need a store. I am going to draft a World of Disney store.
Oh, you go, girl.
When you come to my resort, you won't be longing for all of your Disney memorabilia and all those popular items that you just have to get for you and folks back home. So
I have to admit, that's a really good pick, and I never seen that coming. Did you, Bob?
No, I didn't.
That was like a blindside pick, but it was a good pick. I get your reasoning. You're going to put that right in your park, that monster store.
Well, and my thinking was, this is for all our woman listeners that love to shop. They're going to just love coming to my park because I'm going to give them ample shopping opportunities, unlike you guys.
We'll get our stores in. Oh, that's a good pick, Dan. I didn't see that coming, but some of my favorite stories is the very first time we went down there was I was so excited. I was taking pictures for my godson because I couldn't believe all the characters hanging from the rafters. It was like it blew me away because it was our first night there because we got there a day early, so we didn't have park tickets yet, and we stayed at Riverside, which was Dixie Landing at the time, so we took the boats to downtown, and we stayed there till like 1 in the morning, and we could not believe everything we were seeing, and going in that world of Disney, we were blown away. We couldn't believe all the architecture, all the characters. It's just a beautiful store.
Yeah, and you got the murals on the wall, on the ceiling, rather. You know, it's one of those things I got to admit that I kind of take it for granted now. But, you know, we usually cruise through there when we're at Disney Springs now. But you're right, Doug. If I hearken back to my early days of going to Walt Disney World, that store did blow me away, too, because obviously it has everything you could possibly imagine in it. And it's just awesome. So I was happy to be able to add it to my park.
Good pick. Go ahead, Bobby.
All right, so this one's going to be a little bit of a defensive pick, and as well as I'm not quite sure, since I own Yacht and Beach Club, who's going to own what's on the other side. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to lay claim to Crescent Lake. So I'm going to need a lake because a lake plays a part whether large or small in the construction of my overall park, and I think Lago Dorado probably would fit from a backup option standpoint. So I'm going to go ahead and draft Disney's Coronado Springs Resort.
Oh, there you go.
Not surprising.
You wanted the
Laguna Bar.
Luna Bar.
Yeah, well, I had to get Laguna Bar. If I came away without Laguna Bar, there's going to be a lot of bartenders at Laguna Bar not very happy with me because they know about you and they've met Dennis and they don't want to work for you.
Oh, jeez. I might have to go over and offer them a little more money to come bartend at one of my bars.
So. I've already, quintupled their salary.
Oh, you gave them points at the back end of your whole park, right?
Yeah. Oh, in fact, I gave them. Yeah. In fact, I've given them an ownership interest in the park.
Oh, there you go. So I can't take any of your bartenders. nice pick. It looks like Den's going to end up with Caribbean Beach then, so he don't even have to pick it. There you go, Den. You can. That kind of helps you now.
Yeah, it does, because you can keep that to your last pick, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll save it for the. A dribble at the end of the fifth round or whatever.
Yeah, because you don't have to worry now because we can only each draft one moderate. So
there you go.
There goes an advantage for you, Dan, you didn't even see coming. To continue on the resort train, as we must say, and I'm riding my train over to my other resort.
Excuse me, Doug, just one point of clarification. Aren't the cabins at the Wilderness Lodge technically a moderate resort, or are we going to just throw them in with the whole Wilderness Resort?
I would just put them in with the Wilderness Resort. Do you guys agree?
Well,
you have to check in at the Wilderness Resort to rent the cabin.
actually, well, all right.
Or you can have the whole
result. I wasn't aware of that, but when I go to do my polls on the site, I actually go to Walt Disney World's website, and I pull from a category to make sure that I'm classing things correctly. And the cabins at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort are a moderate.
Right, yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, you would get the whole campground, is what I'm saying. Hoop-de-doo review, the whole nine yards. You wouldn't just be getting the cabins, then.
No, and I understand that, but I was just trying to be, you know, accurate.
No, you could draft
here.
That if you wanted to. Yeah, they are moderate because it's under the same category as a travel agent.
That's what I was trying to say, just because my personal preference is I'd probably take that over Caribbean Beach, but that's just me. But we'll see.
You got the decision. You could hold off either one to the last bit because they are moderate.
Exactly. We'll see how my park goes, and it may or may not be a good fit at that point once I've drafted 40 other items.
And how sad is that for the Caribbean Beach? I mean, you know, from a standpoint of a resort, it's a decent resort. It's just
beautiful.
Way too spread out for us,
yeah.
So we've never stayed there. But just a side comment, if I could for a second, I just completed the Value Resort, Moderate Resort, and Deluxe Resort polls, and one of the overarching things I noticed is Disney's spending a whole lot of time and money building additional DVC locations for, you know, obvious reasons, revenue-wise, but there were 20 resorts in the deluxe poll. There were only 5 or 6 each in the moderate and values.
And brought that up on a show that they need to build at least one of each, or two moderates. They need to do something in the moderate class.
I agree. That obviously was a point I was going to make. When it comes to cost of things nowadays, not everybody can reach up to a deluxe resort class. And in my mind, Disney's pushing themselves into a corner where they're going to have people that are going to be more and more people pick and choose off site.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's not a lot of inventory, especially when specials come out. I have so much trouble finding it. The only thing I will say, I've stayed at Caribbean Beach before, and I really do like it. Especially, I think Old Port Royal is one of the best food courts on property.
It's very strong. I've eaten there, Doug, and the way they have it set up, kind of like in a corridor form, and you got all the little different storefronts or restaurant fronts, if you will.
And it's really a nice-looking place in there, isn't it, then?
It is, and I enjoy the little store there and, you know, that whole the whole feel. Reggae, I don't know if that's the type of music they play, but it's very upbeat.
That was the only thing that I had negative about it, because the pirate pool is awesome. I mean, I love that they did the pirate rooms for, you know, to have something for the young boys. You know, because, you know, it was nice, because I get a lot of my clients that want to stay in the pirate rooms.
Right.
But the only thing that does get me is by the 6th or 7th day that we're there, the Calypso music is like water torture.
Yeah, it can kind of grate on you after a while.
It really does, man. After a while, you start hearing it when you're not even there. Like, I'm driving in the car hearing di-di-di-di-di in my head. I'm like, what is going on? It's like it's a small world, but listening to it for 24 hours a day, it gets to me a little bit.
Right.
So, but good pick, Bob. Go enjoy your Luna Bar.
Laguna.
I call it the Luna Bar because he's loony. Get it? So my pick, I'm going to continue on the resort run here. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Right.
It was by far, this is my second favorite resort, and it's kind of 1 and 1A with Riverside. And the reason Riverside wins out is because it's home away from home. But the Lodge is, anybody who's never been there, you should go see it. And the three restaurants at this resort are rated 3 of the best on property. I think you guys would agree with that. Gico, Bowman.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to restaurants, you know, the Yacht and Beach Club for me was the location that I wanted to take. But if I were to stack their restaurants up against Animal Kingdom's and Animal Kingdom Lodge's restaurants, Animal Kingdom Lodge would win every time, especially because of the environment, the motif. And frankly, for me at my park, I wouldn't have to worry about the argument that it's way off to the other end of property. It would have been right smack dab next to the attractions.
Well, Well, see, that's a positive thing. This is Doug's Park now, so everything is right there. You're not traveling far away. This resort is right on the right outside of my park now. It's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's a great pick, Doug. I mean, for the reasons Bob just mentioned, and you know, just the sheer beauty of the whole resort. It's very strong. You know, that the big lobby when you walk in. I mean, it's just breathtaking the first time you go in there. So, very strong pick, and I wish I could have taken it.
Yeah, as soon as you open up them doors, are those doors that you entered in wooden doors some of the most beautiful handcrafted thing you've ever seen?
Right.
Just everything
right.
In there. I mean, the artifacts, but the fire pit. I get to go outside at night and hear my own ranger tell me about my safari ranger tell me about his wildlife experiences.
Yeah,
roasted marshmallows.
Use the night vision goggles, and you can see the animals out on the savannah. It's a lot of things going for that resort.
And my pool bar is awesome. I watched a couple Philadelphia Eagles games from that pool bar, and they won both times. So maybe if I buy this resort, stay there for a season, my Eagles might finally win a Super Bowl.
You never know.
So just to clarify for the listeners, I would say that Kidani Village goes with the
yes.
Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Okay. Exactly, yes. So go ahead, Dan, your fourth pick.
Decisions. All right, I am going to draft the monorail as my fourth pick.
And you get both sections, then you get it as long as you want.
Yeah, sections.
Yeah, you get the Epcot monorail and the regular one, so we're not going back and forth.
Yeah, I get the resort loop as well as the Epcot loop as well.
But you're basically going to build your track to go around your park and through your resort, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be my Walt Disney World Railroad as it is in your park. So I need a mode of transportation to get my guest in and around my park. So I'm going to use the iconic monorail, and I'm happy with that pick.
Can't go wrong with the monorail, then. It's Disney classic.
It's an attraction in itself.
Exactly. So good pick, Dan, and your people at the Polynesian now won't have to walk over to your park. They can take their monorail as usual.
That's right.
So where are you going, Bob, with your fourth pick?
Okay, so I'm going to make a pick, and then it's going to come with a question, so I need a clarification from my competitors here. I am going to actually take Disney's Boardwalk Inn and Villas.
Okay.
Which I assume includes the Boardwalk. But now that I own the Boardwalk Inn and Villas and the Yacht and Beach Club, I'd like to lay claim to the lake and the friendship boats that are that populate it. So that's the point of clarification I need for my mode of transportation in my park. Since I can't have a monorail or a railroad, I'd like to be a boat-based park.
You're fine.
Okay, so...
Yeah, they do come. You can have the boats. We could all share boats, but you have boats. Because I have the Sasquilla River that's going to run to my park, and my train's going to run right along it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree, Bob. You should be able to claim them. And, you know, but plus, Doug, the boats are different. The friendship boats that
exactly.
Bob has will be different from the boats that are used to access, you know, Riverside and, you know, Saratoga Springs, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
And if you really think about it, Polynesian would have the resort launches, too.
Yeah, exactly. So,
there you go.
Yeah, we'll get, you got, everybody has boats, Bob. But yeah, you get that whole area.
Okay.
Now you own the entire boardwalk and crest that whole area, the Yacht and Beach Club. That's a nice little, so you're going to have a back entrance to your park, or is that going to be the front entrance?
Actually, it's all going to circle around the two lakes, Lago Dorado and Crescent Lake. And
you're
going to have a choice of the Yacht Club, the Beach Club, Coronado Springs, Boardwalk, and Boardwalk Inn and Villas. It's going to be pretty decked out. And in fact, now that I think of it, I might build the park in the middle of the lakes.
There you go.
So you're going to have a moat.
There you go. We'll call it
Why
Bob's,
not?
Bob's Moat. World of Moat. Well, I'm gonna finish off the whole resort deal, and I got everything I wanted. I'm going to go with the Wilderness Lodge. And if you could see a theme going with mine, my whole park is going to be rustic, woodsy. So the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and Riverside, I think all those resorts marry very well with each other.
Agreed. If you're going for the forest look, you got the market cornered on that.
Yeah, I think if I put all these together with their landscaping and everything else, I think they mold very well together. I mean, you could go from one to the other. Now imagine a train going through all three of these resorts with the woods, and then you have the little Sasquatch River that'll connect all three resorts. But it all goes together. It's because it's in the wilderness kind of style.
Yeah. No, that good strategy. I like it.
And then Tough to Be a Bug. You got the Tree of Life that sits there. I mean, I think it all... I'm bringing it together, guys. So, yes. And I love the Wilderness Lodge. The Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge that everybody knows were designed by the same architect. So you can see a lot of similarities in them. You know me being in construction. I appreciate both of these resorts just because of all the craftsmanship of them. You have to admit, the craftsmanship in both of these resorts is second to none.
Oh, it's top-notch, without a doubt. I mean, they're just, jaw-dropping. Again, the three of us have been there so many times that, I often feel that we just take things for granted. Not personally, but just in general. If you just go back to when the first time you laid eyes on it or the first couple of times, it's really... Quite a sight, and to take that all in is always awesome.
Plus, I also get boats with this resort, which are some of my favorite boats. I like to go over here for lunch and park and hang out and then take the boats over to the Magic Kingdom. And again, that, like we talk about with the monorail and everything else, the friendship boats, they're an attraction. Some of my favorite things to do on property is ride the monorail and these boats. Do you guys disagree?
No, I don't disagree at all. I mean, the modes of transportation, at least the way I look at it, they're like I always say, they're an attraction in itself. I mean, it's not too often that we go to Disney World that we won't jump on the monorail, even if we're not particularly going to where the monorail's going, but just to get that feel and hear the spiel come over the speaker system, it's so comforting, and it just screams Disney World. So I agree, Doug. Transportation is huge down there, and I think that's one of the things that separates Walt Disney World from some of the other theme parks, whether it be in Central Florida or around the world.
So where are you going, my good friend, with your fifth pick?
I am going to draft with my fifth pick. I'll go ahead and take the Contemporary Resort.
Okay, so you're going to corner the market on that area.
Yeah.
Monorail is going to be able to drive through the Contemporary anyway.
As it should. No, I mean, and again, we did talk about this, and we had a little back and forth earlier in the show, but I mean, the way Doug was thinking about it, which is absolutely certainly a fine way to look at it. I mean, the building is kind of made for the monorail to go through it, so I could see why, he would look at it as being a package deal, but... the resort is iconic. I mean, it's not one of my favorite resorts. I've never stayed here, actually, but I've spent, as I've said on prior shows, I've spent lots of time there eating at the California Grill. I used to be heavy in the pin trading and vinylmation collecting, and they always have the... the gatherings over there in the ballrooms on the second floor. So I've spent hours upon hours there, and I like it. It's comfortable, but not my cup of tea from a aesthetics perspective. But again, it does have some very strong restaurants, and it kind of is a hub, if you will, if you want to get out of the Magic Kingdom, go over to the Contemporary, like I said, grab something at the Wave or Contempo Cafe, and they have the Outer Rim, I believe it's called, a little bar there where you can look out on the Bay Lake. So, it does have a lot of strengths to come with this particular resort.
Plus, Bay Lake Tower is gorgeous, too, and I love the resort because it's Disney to me. I mean, you see that hotel, you don't think it's anywhere else in the world. It's at Disney World.
Right.
To me, it's the iconic hotel of the resort.
And it's where President Nixon gave his "I am not a crook" speech. So you got that too.
Here you
historic.
Go, Dan. There you go.
This. So,
where are you going around pick five, Dan or Bob or Pete?
Well, you
or
know,
David?
As I listened to you guys talking about your picks, you know, I got much more fond of this whole idea of building the park in the middle of the lakes. So I think there's a really good chance that we might do something along the lines of trying to shove a park in the middle of Crescent Lake and Lago Dorado. And as I think about it, if I have the resorts sort of spaced out around those lakes, what better thing could there possibly be to have some type of a beach or a viewing area to look directly across the water to the lake and watch Wishes?
Hmm.
There you go. So my man's taking Wishes. So I know with the last pick in the draft, I can take Fantasmic.
If it's playing.
Well, no, in my park it plays every day.
Yeah,
we're going to put
right.
a new spin on it.
Here you go.
Well, we're going to update it a little bit. Or I could also, and now I might throw a monkey wrench in here. Could I take the new light show at the Animal Kingdom Festival of Lights?
No, because it's not an act.
It doesn't
exist yet.
Well, I'm putting in an injunction here.
All right. Send it to the commissioner, and we'll discuss it and get back to you on
Well, I could play Roger Goodell and just overthrow it. And you guys could all hate me.
No.
But just so all the listeners out that are there know, I was trying to sneak a fast one past them and have the Festival of Lights at the Animal Kingdom. So you
good
guys
try.
Call
good
in
try.
And tell them you want me to have this. But no, good pick, Bob. Wishes is awesome. Now, is it going to play? Is the movie going to play on the side of the Yacht and Beach Club? Or how are you going to work that out?
We'll sort it out. We do have a Spaceship Earth as the park icon.
You could play Wishes on the side of Spaceship Earth. That would work. That's a nice flat. That's a nice white movie screen.
Or we may rework the entire program. We'll see.
Okay. Well,
the soundtrack is the only thing that won't change.
There you go. Well, I'm going to continue on my little woodsy theme here, and I'm going to draft Kilimanjaro Safari.
That's a great pick. I mean, what more iconic attraction for a park than Kilimanjaro Safaris? I mean, each time I run my favorite Animal Kingdom attraction poll for WDW, it comes down to either Everest or Safaris, and they just duke it out each year. I mean, in my personal opinion, the best attraction in that park is Safaris.
Oh, I love it, and I think it goes with the whole theme I'm going with here. I think, you know, with having the Animal Kingdom Lodge, I got to have the safari. It just wouldn't work for me. What do you think? I mean, you know, it's just a perfect fit. It had to be. So I wanted to take it now before one of you guys snatched it on me and kind of ruined my whole Animal Kingdom Lodge. I got no animals.
Yeah.
So.
Good pick.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm going to go out and feed the lions right now. You go ahead and pick, Dan.
Okay, since I do not have a park icon yet, I am going to draft Cinderella's Royal Table as one of my restaurants, and with it, I will take the lovely castle that comes with that restaurant.
Good pick, Dan. I knew that was coming. Me and Bob, I thought about it, but I didn't know if the castle would go with the Tree of Life. I was trying to bounce the two off each other with my whole art. I was sitting here with my architectural mind envisioning it, and I just
right.
I didn't see it yet. But good pick. I like the castle. It goes, you know, in my opinion, you had to have that, being you had the monorail and the contemporary. You got the contemporary thing going for you.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, it was an obvious pick. I mean, I think my park would be subpar if I didn't have a weenie, as I call it, and not that I call it that. Walt used to refer to the things that would lure people into the park and towards the inner part of the park. So that's my weenie.
There you go. Good, nice pick, man. The castle, I'm surprised it took that long to go, but I'm happy it finally went. We had to have that go in the first 10.
I would think.
So, what's your next pick there, Mr. Laguna?
All right, so I'm going to go to the attractions category, I believe, and you know, we just finished at with a
Spaceship Earth. Now you have Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, but that doesn't really count as a, you know, a marquee ride. It's more the icon itself you're getting. In fact, where I was going to go is we just ran a couple months ago our parks polls for favorite attractions, as well as our WDW poll over March Madness weekend, final weekend. And Spaceship Earth finished 11th in that poll. But I'm going to go to an attraction that is traditionally at the top end of the polls. And since I need a thrill ride, I'm going to go with the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Nice pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
It won the poll, actually, in early April.
Okay, well, yeah.
Didn't get my vote.
Dennis don't like the high drop of that, but I had a plan for that with something else, so I was hoping to get it a little later in the draft, because I had a whole themed area of the park I was going to use that for, but there goes that idea.
Uh-oh, there's going to be a run on cornerbacks here. I can smell it.
We already had a run on resorts. That actually was
right on the heck out of me. Well, I'm going to continue with my whole woodsy kind of deal, and you guys will see where I'm going here. I'm going to draft Splash Mountain.
Another very popular attraction. It, you know, obviously everything in the Magic Kingdom usually does well in the polls, but in the most recent WDW favorite attraction poll, it finished third.
Well, what I like about it is it kind of goes with everything I'm going for right now. At this area, I'm building one style, and what I think is Splash Mountain, the whole architecture, everything of that, could sit right next to Kilimanjaro Safari and have like a whole woodsy kind of deal. You get off a nice hot ride at Kilimanjaro Safari, you go over, it's in the woods there, you hop on Splash and take a nice dip. So I think it'll fit well over in my woodsy style of park.
Yeah, it definitely goes with your strategy here. I totally agree. It would fit in. You could put it almost anywhere in your park, and it would fit. Absolutely.
So, and I love Splash. You know, we just talked about this on the last show, Dan, a little bit. And
yep.
It's one of my favorite rides. It has a lot of memories for me. And how do you do? Go ahead, Dan. Next pick.
All right. Let's see. Got my resort set. I can shop. I can get around. I got an icon. I am going to go with Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm going to bring this attraction into my under my umbrella here. Classic Disney animatronics. Love them. This is one of the rides or attractions, I should say, that kind of blew me away when I first started going to Disney. And, you know, not the most thrilling attraction. It has gone through some refurbs over the last couple of years with the addition of Captain Jack Sparrow and a couple of the scenes. But like I said, classic Disney, and I think this is a strong attraction to put into my park, so I'm happy to be able to draft it.
I love me some Pirates, then. You know, it's my favorite. You know, it's always in my top 10 favorite rides, and it's my most memorable ride. That's the ride that Disney owes me all my money for. Because that's the ride that made me drink the Kool-Aid. After walking down the entrance, going into Main Street Confectionery, seeing the beauty of the castle, I got on It's a Small World, which I love because my wife was smiling, and then we got on Pirates, and I was 100% sold. I couldn't wait to come back. This trip wasn't even over, and I was planning my next one. So, Pirates stole all my loot. So,
you a fan of Pirates, Bob, or...?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of our favorite attractions. You know, there's a certain few, including the one that I'm going to select, that's a Magic Kingdom attraction that we always have to do when we visit. Simple ride. You know, you could make an argument, or some people that aren't fans of it could make an argument that, well, it's a little bit been there, done that. It's good that they've updated it a couple times along the way, including I think it is either undergoing currently or it's going to be very shortly undergoing another refurbishment. You know, it's
changing out the boats, and then
it just
is.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic attraction. It's one of those iconic things that, you know, you just kind of have to do when you go to Magic Kingdom.
So, absolutely.
Good pick, then. Where are you going, Bobby?
I'm afraid to say.
I'm hoping it's not.
I'm going to stick with the attractions. Before they all start flying off the board, I'm going to stick with what my readers have voted as the number two favorite attraction in all Walt Disney World, and I'm going to take Haunted Mansion. It fits nicely with Tower of Terror.
You had the same idea I had with that.
And it's just insanely popular. I mean, like I said about Pirates, I kind of sometimes was really surprised when the polls come out. I mean, Splash Mountain does well every year. Mansion does well every year. Pirates not quite as well, but still. Here you have three attractions that have been around for decades and families that, you know, are making return visits to Walt Disney World or their first visit to Walt Disney World, they just flock to the three of them. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, I had told my wife off the air, one of my ideas is to have a Terror and Haunted Mansion in the same area of the park together and have that whole little land with those two in it.
Yeah, no, that
where it could be... Where it could be Halloween every day of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah, on any given day, Haunted Mansions, Pirates, Haunted Mansion. One may be my favorite over the other. So a very strong pick, Bob, and I figured it would go rather quickly.
That was going to be my next pick, Bob, because I was going to take it for my wife, and I figured that I could put that in the woods, and it would be a little scary there, too, because you have that woodsy feeling about that building.
Oh, it would have been an outstanding idea.
So maybe we'll have to make a trade down the lane. Maybe we can trade.
Ooh, very nice.
We'll see. I'm just kidding, but we'll see. Well, my next pick, I'm going to continue. I'm going to pick one for the wife, which I think I can make it fit.
I know where you're going.
I'm going to take Soarin'.
Why not? I mean, if I had taken Soarin', it would probably come with a full refurb, although I'm excited about the fact that that they're building the third theater. But for me, had I taken it, it would be some type of a take on Soarin' across the world. And, you know, we've talked about this, I think, on the show in the past, if not, you know, between the three of us personally. My concept idea for Soarin would be to take a lesson from Star Tours, where they mix and match different scenes to make the Star Tours experience fresh or fresher every time you go and see it. I would shoot a lot of video, and every time you ride on Soarin' across the world, it would be it would give you the opportunity to have a different experience. As it is right now, it's same movie every time. You kind of been there, done that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind if they did the new movie, like they're talking about Soarin' over Florida and all. And even if they mixed it in with just the old movie, because I wouldn't mind seeing the old movie, like if it's a few years from now or every other trip, because there's a lot of, like I said to Den, we've talked on the show we're getting ready to release that, you know, I try to catch a golf ball every single time I'm on it. So, you know, it's like it has a lot of memories, but I do want the new movie. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the upgrade. I'm hoping they do a little tweaking to the ride vehicles like we've talked about so you can't see the feet. I mean, Disney does everything to perfection, and to see somebody's flip-flops hanging in front of you just don't work for me when you're not in the other rows. I don't know why there's not a little hatch or something that could fold down so it blocks that from you seeing feet, because it ain't like you see any theater through the feet. Especially if somebody has some nasty feet hanging in front of you. It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Doug, we our conversation about this will be on the show that's going to be released later today. But even so, with all the negatives that you just mentioned, and Bob, as you explained, with your wanting to have a world view, if you will, I think this attraction lends itself to be very flexible. I mean, I know it's expensive to shoot. I forget what kind of filming it is, whatever it is. But, I mean, there's been rumors out there. I could have sworn that somebody said that Disney was actually filming or they have some footage in the can already. Whether that was true or not, I don't know. But you would think, given that, you know, there's no audio animatronics or there's no, you know, real stage scene sets, if you will, that need to be, you know, worked on or refurbed. You know, it's just a visual thing, a movie thing. They should be able to do lots with this attraction. So let's hope that, you know, what Bob said and what you said, Doug, comes true in the near future, because I think this would add some more juice to this attraction. Not that it needs it, because it's probably one of the more or the most popular rides in all of Disney World, but if they do this movie upgrade, you'll be needing to get online right at 6 o'clock in the morning to book them Fast Pass Pluses.
Absolutely, and my ambience, the other parts are separated, Living with the Land and Sunshine Seasons. We can draft them individually so you don't own that whole building. I will be putting a new facade in front of this. We'll have a new queue. I promise you that.
Thank you.
And it will fit into the whole woodsy thing. It's Soarin'. There's adventure. You know what I mean? Because you have the mountain climbing through the rapids. I think it all fits into my park theme. So I'm geeking out here, guys. Don't enjoy the ride with me. Go ahead, Dan. Pick number 8 for you, buddy.
Okay. I figured you'd take this, but you went the other way. So I'll go to the other side of Future World at Epcot, and I will draft Test Track as my number 8 pick.
You better not change the pre-show on me.
Oh, I'm gutting that right out. That's the first thing I'm doing.
No, you're not.
No. In all seriousness, though, I mean, again, I think this is a very strong attraction. It's one that our family really enjoys, a family ride, and you know, it's exhilarating. You know, we talked about this again on the show we're going to release today, I believe. You know, it always makes you seem like you're going faster than you actually are when you get out on the back stretch there, because of the scale of the car and the track and all that stuff. But again, I think this is one of the premier attractions on property for the non-roller coaster junkie like myself. You can still get a little thrill, but it's you know, tame, I guess I'd call it, if you're not into drops and hills.
Yeah, it's exhilarating. It's a great ride, but I think it isn't as scary because everybody's used to riding in a car. So
yeah,
it don't affect you as much because you're in your comfort zone, because you're in normal seats. It kind of makes you feel like you're in the family truckster. So that's, I think, what makes it not as scary. I think if it was in a different kind of ride vehicle, I think it might even make it a little scarier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it may. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was going to say, needs completely rethemed. I mean, you know, the one thing I would say in common between Soarin' and Test Track is here you have the two marquee, as it were, attractions for Epcot outside of Spaceship Earth, which really, you know, it's more of a sort of a sentimental sort of iconic type thing on the order of a mansion or a pirate's. And both of them, in my estimation, need to be redone. You know, Test Track, I mean, I obviously just had its, you know, refurb, but bottom line is, I mean, maybe I'm in the minority, but when I ride Test Track, all I can think of is, well, this is what used to happen at this point on the track when it looked like it used to look. If they had redone that, leave the beginning, because I like the whole concept of design your own car, but had a different track, and I know it would have cost more to do it, and there was probably some infrastructure problems as to why they couldn't. But the bottom line is, it's just, I mean, it's a great zip around the building once you blast through those doors, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah. See, I disagree, because I like the idea of kind of having the mix and kind of remember the old. But that's why there's apples and oranges, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really enjoy it. I'm glad they didn't, because most people were afraid they were going to ruin it. Like, nobody even wanted it refurbed. Everybody wanted it left alone. So I think they kind of gave you the best of both worlds, in my opinion. I'm glad they got rid of that heat machine. Yeah, I'm hot, I'm cold. That's the only part I didn't like of it. I'm glad that's gone.
See, and I like that part. And actually, I'll break the tie here. I totally agree with Bob. I was very, very disappointed with the refurb. In my view, I kind of look at it like this. They basically, instead of changing out any of the engine parts or major parts of the attraction, they put a paint job on it. They put some neon lights on the inside, made very minor changes, you know, mostly all visual, nothing structural or, like you said, Bob, change to the track. So as much as I like this, I was very, very disappointed in the refurb. And given the fact that it just had a refurb a couple of years ago,
so
this is the version that we're going to be left with for many years to come.
So you're hoping when they refurb Pirates that they remove all the Pirates and put in something else?
No, there are some attractions on Disney property that are iconic, and you know, I don't believe they should ever be touched. But there are some, and Epcot being the park that's supposed, and especially given where it is in Future World, it lends itself to keeping up with the time. So I disagree with your Pirate reference.
So should Spaceship Earth then be totally changed out?
It has been.
No. Yeah, they've kept 90. They've added stuff to it, but they didn't change it out. So we should be over all the ancient times and just start like 1979.
No,
to be perfectly honest with you, I would say the same thing about Spaceship Earth that I've kind of just said about Test Track. I mean, if they were to come out and say we're going back to the older version of Spaceship Earth and the older narration, I'd be perfectly fine with that because of the iconic nature of it. Test Track for me used to tell a story. You would go in, and there was at least the story and the theming of being at a test facility. Now, I have a hard time understanding what the heck the story is, and I think that's where it loses me.
Yeah, see, with me, it's just the whole ride itself. I'm more into the thrill of the ride. It's like, what cracks me up is everybody worries about what Test Track has, which has 10 times more than what Expedition Everest has, but nobody complains about Everest because that's the most boring ride there is out there.
Visually boring.
Yeah, there's nothing to it, but even the ride is boring to me. I think the ride of Test Track is more thrilling than Everest. I mean, it's no big deal. You go up the hill, you drop.
I disagree.
To me, it's just trying to get stupid to get stupid. I enjoy the outside ride of Test Track more than I enjoy Everest.
But see, the difference is Everest is what Everest is. It's a roller coaster. Test Track is supposed to be Epcot's answer to thrill rides, and in my mind, it wasn't necessarily all that thrilling to start with, and it used to have a story. At least Everest has a bit of a story.
Yeah, the story's all in the queue. I wish if I draft Everest, I could just draft a queue.
Well, I mean, that's your prerogative. You could tear the mountain down and you could build another tree. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Test Track to me is just a big blue room.
Yeah, well, we'll disagree. I'd like it the way it is. I'm glad they did what they did. But I understand. I'm not saying you guys are wrong.
I'm just
saying I do like it. I like the upgrade. I do like the ride. If you don't want it, then I'll take it from you.
No, it's mine. Leave it alone.
Okay. You can't drive your cars through my woods now.
Okay.
So, where are you going, Bobby, so we can argue some more?
Okay, well, all right, for me, you know, as much as I hate standing in lines when I'm actually at the parks, I like lines when I'm building a park. So, I'm going to have a line at Tower. I'm going to have somewhat of a line at Mansion, and depending on the time of the day, somewhat of a line at Spaceship Earth. But I really need a line. So, that being the case, it's going to be Toy Story Midway Mania for me.
Okay. I really like this. Dennis isn't upset this is going.
I'm happy. This is a dead pick for me, so great for you, Bob.
Yeah, I love Toy Story. Again, this is another one of those rides I love to queue as much as I do the ride. I love standing there looking at Mousetrap. That's my whole thing. But I like the pick, Bob. I knew Dennis would be against it.
I'm not against it.
Well, if you think about it, with the selections I've made, I mean, you know, I'm trying to aim sort of a little bit towards the younger demographic. I mean, it's certainly not, you know, something that you'd want to, you know, pick up out of, you know, the kiddie land of any particular park. But the bottom line is not everybody is going to be a fan of Tower from a thrill standpoint. And Spaceship Earth and Mansion are, well, like we've been discussing, those kind of older iconic type things. Yeah, exactly. So Toy Story Midway Mania for me is about as good a job as Disney has done trying to get to maybe my son's generation as far as
me and the wife love to compete on that. I never miss it, and I know Den respects it, but Dennis is he don't like video games, so it kind of don't fit his wheelhouse. I think that's the biggest problem Dennis has.
Yeah, I mean, I have fun on it. I went on
it
last trip,
it.
In fact. Yeah, I don't dislike it at all. But it's just not something, if given me three other choices and I'd choose the other two over this, it's just me. But like I said, if I happen to have a fast pass or if the line is, you know, under 30 minutes, 40 minutes or something, I'll jump in line and do it. It's just, you know, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's one of the lines, if it's under 30 minutes, I actually don't even do fast pass because I enjoy roaming through that queue and bringing back memories, taking a selfie with Mr. Potato Head. You know, that's how I roll. Two potatoes.
Yeah, it, you know, and it's funny you say that, Doug, because that's one of the, I guess, the downfalls of FastPass Plus, because the last couple of times I've gone on FastPass Plus with Toy Story Mania, they cut the line
exactly
off so that it doesn't even go down by Mr. Potato Head. In fact, I don't even think it's turned on.
No,
so you kind of, you know, yeah, you gain the advantage of not having to wait long, but you miss one of the better features of the attraction, which is that Mr. Potato Head.
That and all the nostalgia, it's a nice, there's so many what I call conversation pieces on this ride, especially like when I was with my godson and our family and we're all talking about the Army Men and Mousetrap and this. I mean, it's just nice. It makes a family gathering on this ride where it brings back memories of our childhood that you can tell your kids about. Do you disagree at all with that?
No, not at all. That's great logic. I totally agree.
Well, my next pick, guys, is choo-choo, all aboard. We're going on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Now boarding at Doug's World.
The greatest ride in the wilderness.
Yes, buddy. It fits right in. It has to sit next to Splash. Now, look, my park's going to have all these trees, woods. It's going to be nice and cool. You're going to have Kilimanjaro Safari, Splash Mountain, Soarin', and Big Thunder Mountain Railroad all sitting together. It's going to look beautiful. So, yeah, I think Big Thunder fits my park perfectly right now.
Yeah, you've definitely got a theme going there, no doubt about it. The outsides of all these attractions you're drafting do fit in a wooded area. So, I like what you're doing here.
Yeah, I love my Big Thunder. You guys like Big Thunder?
I think Big Thunder is a great pick for the theme that you're going for park-wide, and you need to have those thrill rides, and Big Thunder is a nice one to start with.
Yeah, I think Big Thunder, Splash, Soarin', and Kilimanjaro Safari is a good, strong four attractions to have to start your park.
Big Thunder, for what it's worth, finished ninth in the WDW favorite attraction poll.
I just love the speed, especially this ride. And this is one of those rides that, like I said, with Test Track, it's so much different at nighttime than it is during the day. And don't you love them rides where you get a different feeling between the afternoon and evening?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're totally different feel, the sight lines, and, you know, when you're in the dark in some areas.
It just feels so fast.
Yeah, it speeds things up a bit. So absolutely, all these attractions, or most of the attractions, except for the true dark rides, it doesn't matter. But any that go outside for any part of the attraction, certainly you get a different feel night versus day.
So where are you going, my good friend, with your ninth pick in the first round?
Well, I'm going to take an attraction that you will have taken or would have taken if it looped back around here. But I'm going to draft the new coaster over at the Magic Kingdom. I'm going to take the Seven Dwarf Mine Train.
How'd you know that was my next pick?
I knew it.
You jerk. I hope Grumpy gives you a what for.
Yeah. I know you would have taken this if it looped back around, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was on the list. It was on the cheat sheet.
Yeah.
So, do you like Seven Dwarfs, Bob?
Actually, I was going to ask you guys a question. I almost want to say Seven Dwarfs is one of the more controversial attractions that have been built or refurbed lately, from a standpoint that I hear such mixed reaction, from adults. It's not adult enough. From kids, it's not kids enough. One of the things that my son said, I believe, along the way was that it was okay for him, but Seven Dwarves and Snow White, you know, that was, it's an iconic movie, but it's not his generation's movie. So he was surprised that when they did theme the newest attraction, this attraction, that it was themed around such an older movie.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, myself, I get it. Most of the complaints I have, it's too quick, too this, too that. And with the footprint that they had to build it in, I think for the area that they had and the size that they, the capability that they could make it, I think they hit a home run. But that, and it's not me drinking the Kool-Aid, because I will pick on things, but I actually love this ride myself.
Yeah, I mean, I like it too, and the way I rationalize it, and I agree with you, Bob, there is a lot of negativity out there about this attraction. People are always complaining, but I simply look at it like this. Snow White's Scary Adventure or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train? Which one would you choose if you could have either?
Seven, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying, they could have done nothing or just, you know, did a test track on Snow White's Scary Adventure and still charge you the same amount of money. So the fact that they added a tear down roll, you know, like Doug always says, it's Big Thunder Mountain Jr. I think that's a great add to the Magic Kingdom. But, so I don't see what all the hullabaloo is about. And I'll just say, let me finish here. And I would say that, for most of these attractions, and again, I talked about this when we talked about Star Tours, it's more about the ride vehicle and the sensation and the exhilaration that you get on a coaster. I mean, yeah, I understand when you go through the slow part of the mine train, you see the dwarfs digging in the mine and, you know, at the end in the house with Snow White dancing. But, I mean, really, it's about the ride itself, for me, anyways. I mean, they could have made it based around a Pixar film or something, and I think it would be equally as good. So the fact that it's Snow White, I mean, I'm a little closer to when the movie came out, but it was well before my years as well. So I get your son's perspective on it, and I understand it. But to me, the theme of it is secondary to, you know, the ride itself or the attraction itself.
I'm going to interject real quick something that I think the biggest problem that happened with this ride was, if this ride would have came out any other time than when all this stuff going on with Harry Potter was going on, and they were comparing Fantasyland to the new Harry Potter world, and I think that's what started everything, because everybody was comparing it to that instead of just – if Fantasyland would have just been rebuilt without all the stuff going on at Universal, I don't think there would have been a problem. But I think everybody wanted this to be something so spectacular, and they just didn't have the space to do it. Does that make sense to you guys?
No, it makes sense to me. With what's upcoming at Walt Disney World, Avatar Land, Star Wars Land, expanded Pixar presence, I'm thinking in the same lines of logic. I mean, you've got this big empire being built over across the city that people are flocking to see, and you know, again, I'll quote my son. You know, I haven't been into the Universal parks yet, but a friend of his took him as a guest earlier this year, and he came back and he said that he loves Walt Disney World. He certainly likes the resorts better than Universal's resorts, but when it comes to the actual attractions, they appeal more to his generation, and he's able to sort of affiliate himself to them a lot easier than some of the things at Walt Disney World, and hence the Seven Dwarfs comment.
Well, the positive thing, though, still is that the Magic Kingdom itself doubled the attendance of Universal Studios almost this year. If you looked at the theme park list of most visited, it was that Magic Kingdom was number one, and then Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios came in fifth, sixth, and seventh. But for attendance, still the Magic Kingdom doubled, almost doubled Universal Studios, the whole Universal, both parks combined. So
yeah, and there's no denying that. I mean, Disney World is the big dog on the block, and I think it always will be. I mean, that'll
Universal's
be
doing good to push it.
Yeah, competition always brings out the best in anything, so that's good for us consumers of theme parks. But I think that, Bob, to address your comments, I think that, you know, 5, 7, 10 years down the road, when all of these new franchises get built out in the
Marvel.
Disney parks, Marvel was one that you didn't mention, too, I think that Disney will pull a lot closer or even surpass anything Universal is doing, at least in Central Florida. Who knows what they might do on the West Coast. But it's going to bring – they're going to have a good balance of old favorites or, you know, like the Snow White that you mentioned. And they're also going to have stuff that's pretty modern. So I agree the way the parks stay now, that Disney has fallen behind trying to keep up with the younger set, if you will. But that's going to change within the next 10 years, I believe.
Well, the bottom line is Universal needs to find some land to even compete because they don't have it right now. They're landlocked, and that's their biggest problem. So number 9 for you, my good buddy Bob.
All right, so for my 9th pick here, I'm reflecting on what I'm going to select, and it's utterly amazing to me. In fact, it's making me laugh quite a bit that of Disney's biggest disappearing park, 3 of my last 4 selections are going to be from Hollywood Studios or whatever the heck they're going to call it in the future, Hollywood Adventure or what have you. But I'm going to take my roller coaster, and it's going to be what I really truly believe is the best roller coaster in Walt Disney World, and frankly, the best one I've ever been in, and that's Rockin' Roller Coaster. The thrill that you get from that launch into the tunnel and into the double loop, I just can't be surpassed by anything on property or anywhere else I've ever been. The only qualifier I would put on it is that if I have an attraction that's going to get refurbed from a theming standpoint, this might be the one. You know, I love Aerosmith's a great band, but you know, if we're going to try to make the park a park that's a little bit more contemporary and aim to, you know, a little bit of a younger generation, it needs to be spruced up with maybe a different band and more than just a coat of paint.
Well, I love Rockin' Roller Coaster. It's my second favorite coaster. That's why I didn't take it. And I took Big Thunder Mountain, but I love Rockin' Roller Coaster. I think it's one of the reasons why you go to the studios. That and the movie ride, for me, and I love Tower, but I don't go on every trip like I discussed because of my back. But you can't go wrong with Rockin' Roller Coaster. The guitar sells that ride for me alone. And the queue of that's another one of the best queues on property.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Doug, and it's a very strong pick, and especially if, you know, you're trying to cater to some of the younger crowd. I mean, I don't go on it much anymore, but I agree with everything you said, Bob, as far as that that rush you get when you blast off into the corkscrew there. And, you know, Aerosmith is one of my favorite bands as well, so I don't have a problem with them keeping it themed to Aerosmith, but I also do recognize, as you rightly pointed out, that as the years go by here, you know, there's going to be a disconnect more and more with who they were with the younger crowd, although they're still fairly popular across multi-generations, or multiple generations, I should say. But I foresee a change in bands, you know, within the next 5 to 10 years, I'll say. It's inevitable, I think.
Yeah, I'm on the fence with it. I won't be upset either way. I do love Aerosmith, and that's another ride that I try to tell everybody. Really, if it's less than 30 minutes, go enjoy the queue because it makes you understand the ride. I know people that have gone on that ride 4, 5, 6 times and never even seen the movie, the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Because they're doing Fast Pass, and some of them do the single rider line, so they didn't get to see the queue. The main part of the queue is what they're talking about, going to the party.
Right. And to me, that's the difference between maybe some of us folks that are a little bit older and the younger set. I mean, for the pure thrill junkie, they don't care about the queue. They don't care about the artifacts.
But they live on YouTube.
Care.
I don't get it.
Right. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
I hear you.
You know, and it's not just older people. I mean, there's young people that enjoy the queues too. Don't get me wrong. But see, to me, that's what separates Disney from any other theme park is all those extra other things. And it's not just about, I want to go the fastest, or I want to be turned upside down, or I want to go through a corkscrew. It's the story that Disney tries to tell, and they're world-renowned for it. So I totally agree, and that's why I choose some attractions over some of the more thrilling ones, because, one, I'm a chicken, but number two, I enjoy all those other things. That's why I go to Disney World.
Well, great pick, Bob. So we're here to the last pick of the first 10, the first round we're going to call. We're going to say 6 rounds of 10. And what I'm going to take is, and it's one of my favorites, and I'm going to squeeze it in somehow, try to make it work in my park. It will work because it's already in the same park as Kilimanjaro Safari. I'm taking dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs. I think it's another great thrill ride to add to my park. I'll design the outside, put it in the woods. It'll kind of, it goes with the animals because it's the prehistoric animals. And I just love dinosaur. I love the whole thing about the ride. I enjoy the pre-show. I enjoy everything about it. I am getting kind of old. It does buck me quite a bit. I got to try to stay in the front, not the back. Because I notice when I'm in the back, it does give me a little bit of whiplash now. But do you guys notice that, the difference in the back of that ride compared to the front?
Yeah. I don't know the stuff. I just get thrown around no matter where I'm at. I mean, it's a little bit, it's getting to a little bit too rough for me, to be perfectly honest with you. We just went on it when we did that 4 parks in one day run late last year, I think. And it was the only attraction we rode that day in Animal Kingdom. And I said to my wife that, boy, that I just, it had been a while since we'd been on it.
Were you in the back?
No, we were actually in the front.
Oh, you are getting up.
Yeah. And I told her, no, that's all right. I am. But anyway, so I told her, I said, I just didn't remember it being quite that rough.
Yeah, it is. And the back is even worse, Bob. So you're lucky you got the front, because the back is like riding on the back on a Boston Bronco. That's
yeah.
What you feel like. But I figure this fits in my park, and it also, you know, like Dennis was saying, the younger generation loves dinosaurs. So this ride, so it's a great thrill ride to add.
Didn't Jurassic World come out this weekend? Is that correct?
Yeah, this is part 2.
I think it's 3, coming out next. Yeah,
or is it next weekend?
Yeah, I think it's next weekend, because Mary does want to go and see that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too.
So I kind of love this ride. Everybody who listens to our show knows it's one of my favorites. So
the only thing with this, well, I'm going to extend an olive branch here. I'll be willing to give you all of Chester and Hester's land there with dinosaur, because it's right adjacent to it. So you can have that stuff, okay?
No, I don't want it. It's not going in my park. This is going to sit off to the side. It's going to sit right next to Soarin', actually.
Good.
So... But what's your 10th and final pick of this round, Dan?
Ah, boy. And I know you're surprised that I haven't chosen a particular item
yet. I almost took it. So.
Yeah, I know, and that's fine. But it's too modern looking, and it wouldn't fit in your park. But at some point, you're going to have to break the trend, because you're going to run out of woodsy things to draft.
No, we're going to start the next phase on round 2.
Right.
These are my goals for round 1. I got 80% of them. The only thing that got taken from me, the two that were taken from me that I really, really wanted, well, 3, Illuminations, Tower of Terror, and Haunted Mansion, because I had a whole plan for a horror area in the woods. So I'm kind of upset about that.
Okay.
So where are you going, my friend?
Yeah, I guess I'll take it. I'll take it because it's near and dear to my heart, and it's still around. So I'm gonna draft the Tomorrowland Transit Authority as my 10th pick in the first round.
Or as we like to call it, the People Mover.
There you go, the TTA.
Yeah, it fits into your whole, you got a modern kind of deal going here.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking the brick and mortar. So, you got all the newer stuff. Bob's swimming, even though he's not the rock and roller coaster going to water.
Bob's got a moat.
Yeah. So we all got pretty good themes going. It's been a lot of fun. I'm liking the People Mover pick, Dan. I love that ride. I was thinking about how I could make it. I was thinking about making it run through the woods and give it like a camouflage paint job. That's where I was going with that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. If I were you or Bob, for that matter, less so with Bob's part, but with your part, Doug, yeah, you could have painted it, camoed it up, and it could crawl through the savanna or somewhere else within your park. So it would have worked.
It was between that and dinosaurs on the last pick. So right, I wanted my dinosaurs, but as I wanted another thrill ride for the kids. But People Mover was right there. That would have probably been the first pick of the next round for me. Mm-hmm. So, good pick then. Where are you going now, Bob? The last pick of the first day.
Okay, so with my last pick, I'm feeling pretty good about the base of attractions that I've built. All of them are very popular if you listen to my readers, and I'm going to stick with that theme. But I'm kind of feeling like I need a show. So I'm going to take the Festival of the Lion King.
You jerk. I wanted that. Nice pick. That was the next. That would have been one of my others. I was holding off on that because I didn't think either you guys would take it because of my whole woodsy thing. So let the stabbing begin now.
No, actually, it's there's a sentimental thing with me. We've only seen it once, to be honest with you. But Lion King was right in the zone of when our son was so little. And it was one of the movies that we watched together. And one of the things that just makes me think, of all those memories of the past, it's the only attraction I've ever been in that kind of affected me emotionally as far as watching the show, and it evidently affects my readers the same way from a passion standpoint, because when we did run this past spring's poll, it finished 14th in all of WDW's attractions.
Okay. I love the Festival Lion King. It would have fit perfectly into my park, but I'll come visit you to see yours. I think from now on, I might play that when I call you. Maybe I'll get you a little teary-eyed.
No, that's a great pick, Bob. I mean, that show is phenomenal, and we've seen it, I don't know, 6 or 8 times over the years, and I've yet to see it in its new location, and I'm looking forward to doing that. But the show itself is Broadway quality. I mean, the singing, the actors, all of the stage pieces, if you will, that with the big giant stage, the giraffe and Pumbaa and Timon and all that stuff. I mean, it's a very upbeat show, and there's a lot going on, a lot to take in with the eyes. So I'd choose it definitely over Nemo, as far as stage shows go. But very strong pick and good pick.
So we all have trends going here. For the most part, the only person has a place to eat in his park so far is Dennis with the Cinderella's Royal Table at the castle.
Yep.
Well, it's a nice and expensive place to stay.
Yeah, right.
Dennis
yeah.
is going to drop the prices and serve better food there from what I hear. But you have the only trend of a restaurant so far in your park. As of right now, all of our visitors are going to head back to the resorts to eat.
Well, obviously, I only drafted it to get the icon.
Absolutely. So. But I'm just kind of recapping here. We all have little ideas that we had, which is a lot of fun. It's pretty cool. I'm having fun doing this. What about you guys?
Oh, yeah. It's a blast. I mean, when we talked about it, previous to putting the, rules of engagement together, I thought it was a great idea to give us an opportunity to have the type of conversation that we had today. I mean, each selection of the 30 we've made, we've had at least a minute or two discussion. And when it comes to Test Track, we could probably have a war of it last 2 years.
Well, and we will continue. And that's what's great about this. The reason we wanted to do it is to have you guys interact with us, vote on it. But it was just to bring to light everything that Walt Disney World has to offer. And that's the idea of this. So we can cover everything. Well, that was a great first opening round, the first 10 picks, and I'm looking forward to doing the next 10 with you guys.
Absolutely. It was fun, and now we know somewhat where we're going. We can strategize going forward on what else we're going to add to our parks over this summer.
So, guys, head on over to All In WDW. Bob's going to have the list up. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, so I will put the list up by tomorrow, and it'll be accompanied by a poll that'll give the listeners and the readers an opportunity to take a look at what we've drafted so far. Comment on, you know, the different themes or lack thereof, if that's what you see. But please, the more comments we can get, the better. And then there'll be a poll to vote. Which one of these parks is the best of the three, just one round and 10 selections in? And give us your advice. What do we need to add? Where should we go in round two and beyond?
Well, we need to eat. I know that.
and further to that, I'll put this out there to my readers. You guys can go which way you would like with yours, but give me your suggestions as to what I should name this park.
Okay, and we'll drop the links out to everybody too, so they can see these right from your page on Twitter. We'll tweet everything out so people can follow us along. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hopefully we get some good conversation going and bring some other folks into the fold as far as kind of participating in this process vicariously, you know, through us. So that'll be awesome.
So that'll be it for us this week, guys. I'm looking forward to the next one. Remember, go over to All in WDW. The polls and everything will be up. Come over to WDW Magical Main Street Memories and check our site out. We'll have some links up there. And follow us on Twitter. And please leave us reviews over on iTunes. We really appreciate that. And that's going to be it for this week, guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you real soon.
We're pollinators.
Fresh fruit and flowers.
Give thanks to us, Bob's, for our marvelous powers.
If it weren't for the fact that we like the taste, you'd be out there wallowing in shoulder high waste.
Shoulder high
waste. And all the blue white on the face of the planet. There'd soon be no humans, so come here to panic. The best thing about us, you can't live without us. Still, it's got to be.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.